1240 AM WSBC. Yeah. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. Uh-huh. This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. There's one in Beverly and one in Bridgeport.
Yes, there is.
Say hello to Billy Getty, the proprietor, when you go.
Yeah, drink some Tullamore Dew while you're there.
Fox's Beverly Pizza, finest thin crust pizza on Western Avenue in Chicago. Pizza.
Okay.
Finest pizza.
Yeah.
Flood Brothers Disposal. You got garbage issue, you call the floods.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's right. And Madden Funds. Invest your dough.
Call God Mike knows or Dan everybody needs it right now, but if you have it,
call Mike. Mike or Dan Madden. Yep. And Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you. My name's Paddy Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour.
Yo.
Joining me as always to my left, twin brother Billy. Billy, hi.
Greetings. Hello.
Kind of a slow stumble at the top of the show.
Was it?
Yeah, I felt, bum, 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 and this one. I couldn't get my cadence right.
Is it a slow kind of week? I had that kind of a feel to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's now that
we're in. Is it a slow week or a hazy week?
It's hazy, slow because I think everyone's starting to think about the fall coming up. School's right around the corner.
Summer's coming to an end.
Yep.
You know, the dog days of summer. Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Yeah.
The socks are blowing it. Agonizing pain every day for me.
That's true. But you know what, Bill? If the socks are the worst of your worries,
right.
You're in a wonderful spot.
Exactly.
But yeah, you're right. There is a haze going down.
Yeah.
I've got the never-ending birthday party going on. You know, as I spoke of a couple episodes back, Charlotte turned 13 years old.
Right, yeah.
My daughter, Charlotte. But my ex-wife was going to take her and her girlfriends out to dinner together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A birthday party of sorts.
A birthday party.
Did you have a birthday party when you were 13 years old?
See, I don't know. Not that I can remember. See, it's like, do people remember birthday parties?
Oh, this was
The only thing you remember about birthday parties are when something out of the ordinary or ridiculous has to happen. Does that make sense? Like when you're a kid.
Do you mean something memorable needs to
yes.
happen?
Yes. Like, I mean, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I was never at a birthday party where somebody jumped out of a cake. And if they did, I don't think I'd remember it. But I'd remember if somebody mooned somebody and fell in, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So the juvenile delinquency of a birthday party, I always remember.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
Jumping out of a cake. Yeah. I've never seen anybody jump. Well, maybe I have. And I'd have too much liquor in me to remember anybody jumping out of those kinds of cakes.
Yeah. I guess.
Stag parties or things like that. No, I'm talking about, I don't remember my 13th birthday party.
I don't think we really cared.
But it was incredibly important to Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
She calls me the day of. She's like, what do I wear? I'm like, what do you wear? Wear what you got on, you know?
Yeah.
And she goes, we're going to Sugar Factory. Like Sugar Factory was, you know, the Ritz or something.
Oh, like Vegas.
I don't know. She was like, I was like, yeah, it's a place where they have desserts and...
I used to be one of my accounts. I used to sell them liquor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It used to be. It's a nice place, but it's pretty much, yeah, it's candy heaven.
Well, of course, you would have been there as such a sugar man, candy aficionado yourself.
I would find myself probably having a cool time there. Yeah, for sure. But it's like, I'm not a big, you know, I don't know, for my birthday, I'd rather have a nice veal parmesan, you know? And then, you know.
Yeah, but you're not a 13-year-old girl.
Right.
Or are you?
I've been known to think like them sometimes, I guess.
Yep. Oh, look, Mike has the pictures pulled up.
It's very nice. It's a beautiful place.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. That's the one in Rosemont.
Yeah.
So, yes, Charlotte went there, but she was very amped up about it and anxious, you know? She has other girls coming.
Right.
And I feel like, is this a production for your friends? Like, is that what's coming to birthday parties now?
Always,
like,
yeah.
I was never that way, you know? I remember when people just had a birthday party at their house. You know, like, hey, come on over. You know, everything's a destination birthday party now.
Right.
You know, I get these from my son. Like, he's 7 years old, and it's like, Toby and Terry are having their birthday party, you know? And they're like, where?
Yeah.
At the jungle land in Wakanda, you know? And it's like, it just killed my whole Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of Toby and Terry.
Right. This happened like a week ago to me.
Uh-huh.
I went to a birthday party like that. I got there. And I was like, I was picking up Mike and his buddy because his buddy's mother drove them out there for the party.
Yeah.
It was in Glenview. It's a ride from where we live, right? It's a 40-minute drive.
All right.
All right?
Yeah.
But there's other places like this within the vicinity of where we live.
Okay.
They choose this, like, fun land. you know, one of those, it's like, you know, ball pits and, you know, walls that kids can climb and stuff like that. And they pick one out there. And I find myself on Saturday. I'm like, oh, I'm on the hook to go get these guys.
Yeah.
I get out there, and there's like a street festival. It took 3.5 hours out of the day, really, to like commit to this assignment.
Yeah.
For a birthday party, a destination. Have the birthday party at your house, you know?
Nobody wants other people in their homes anymore. It's a lot of it.
I guess.
I don't. If I was married and had children, my wife's like, we're going to have 50, you know, 7-year-olds over here on Saturday. I'd be like, how much is the birthday fund going?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You would absolutely do it. You'd be like, nah, I don't like that idea. Let's just let Birthday Fun Zone handle this, and I'll just write them a check at the end of the event.
Fair enough. But
if you've got the scratch.
I'm saying, as courtesy to other parents, like, please, you know, take that into consideration. That
just stop it with the destination birthday parties?
If you're going to have a birthday party, it's got to be within 5 minutes of the house, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
We're not going to Wisconsin for Toby and Terry's birthday party, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And I asked the dad when I got there, I go, hey, thanks for, you know, booking the birthday party in Wisconsin, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you know, I go, did you guys move? Yeah. He goes, what? I go, did you move out of River? Like, where do you live out here now? You know?
Yeah.
The guy goes, no. I go, kind of a hike, you know? He goes, yeah, I mean, he hated me, I'm sure, right?
Okay.
I was annoyed because when I got to the joint, there was like a Glenview Street Festival going on.
Yeah.
I had to park like 3 blocks around and then walk to this place.
Yeah.
And then, you know. And I was like, I was sweating and like, where is this joint?
See, like if I had done that too, I'd have been like, you got a cold beer for me after this?
No, anyway, he was a nice guy. Yeah. But the destination thing, like it's got, and so Charlotte having her party, it's got to be got to do it at a place.
Yeah.
I didn't have my birthday party at a place until I was like 24 years old at like a bar or something, you know? It's Pat's birthday party, at, you know?
Have we ever had Pat's birthday party? I don't think so.
Well, maybe this year we have.
Pat's maybe this year we party. Have just a big party for you,
just for me, not for you.
It's not my party; it's just for you.
Although, you know what? Since you mentioned it at the beginning,
yeah.
Can we get somebody to jump out of a cake?
Sure, I can try to arrange that.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe.
43 is all about me.
Yeah.
But
good birthday parties.
Yeah,
they've got to have memorable experiences. Right. So I can think of one that we had together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll tell the listeners about it after this break here.
Oh, we're going to go a little bit early?
Yeah, go a little bit early.
Okay.
You can have a great birthday party at the Cork and Carry, everybody.
Yeah, you can.
This show is sponsored by it. Bill's going to tell us another birthday tale after these messages.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Carry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Carry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Carry and get some. The Cork and Carry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Carry.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hey listeners, I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
Cry too if it happened to you.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Thank you, Mike. I guess we have established from the welcome back, everybody, by the way.
Yeah.
I guess we've established from the top of the show that it's going to be a little bit of a birthday talk theme this week.
I guess. I don't know. Have you been at any birthday parties lately other than your daughter's?
No. I don't get invited to birthday parties anymore. 43 years old.
Yeah, I don't really think it's
either. You don't go, hey, you coming to my birthday?
Actually, I shouldn't say that. I went to my friend Karen's birthday party. She had a party.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Linda, I met up with her. I still owe her dinner.
Hi, Linda.
Yeah.
For her birthday. But that's it. I have that. I'm like, no, we don't do that at work.
What about Mike? Yeah, what about
No, no birthday parties at work. No. I mean, it's mentioned. Sometimes it'll be like, you know, your boss will send out an email to you and your team. You know, let's wish everyone a happy birthday.
They did that when I worked at a start, like one of the startups that I had. It was like 100 people, you know, in,
okay.
this, in this bullpen, you know, on headsets.
Uh-huh.
And it's not cubicles really so much. Well, some of it were cubicles, but it's like, it's they're like sales lines. You're like, it's your desk and you're next to a guy. It's like you're sitting at a Starbucks, you know?
Right, yeah.
And a laptop with your phone.
Yeah. But you're like in the IT room
I remember
in high school.
There was always the girl on the sales desk. There's always the organizer, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you'd get to your desk and she'd go, you gonna sign, you know, Bobo's card? And, you know, I'd be like,
Bobo?
Who's Bobo? Yeah. You know? And she'd be like, you don't know who Bobo is? You know?
Yeah.
Like, no. Like,
Charles Vanderwhite.
No. Yeah, right. Are you gonna sign Charles Vanderwhite's card? Who's Charles Vanderwhite? Yeah. He's a product specialist, and he sits four people from you. You know,
yeah, right.
He'd be like, "Oh, that dude, that's his name."
Right.
Hey, happy birthday, Carl, from me,
Carl.
Like
it was Charles Vanderwhite.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah,
you get
Carl
the point.
Would be perfect, actually. Happy birthday, Carl. Yeah.
Did you say his name's Vandersloot?
Vanderwhite.
Oh, Vanderwhite. Yeah. Getting our Vander people messed
I like,
up.
We just like throwing Vanders in front of last names. It's fun.
It is fun to throw a Vander in front of any last name.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Vanderlust.
Vander Houlihan. You know? Yeah. Vander O'Brien.
Yeah.
Vander McGillicuddy.
You could do a Von Vander Murphy. You know, throw a Von in front of a Vander.
Yeah, Von Vander.
Anyways, yeah, birthday parties at work, no.
No, but yeah, in the startup culture, it was like there's always the organizer and you have that. But have I been to, like, so that's the extent of, like, the adult parties. And then when you're in your 20s, everyone gets wristband party. For,
oh, yeah,
you know,
we're getting raw!
Right, for Stacy's 25th or yeah. something like that. And everyone gets real amped for that.
Is your friend from college going to be there? You know, right. Lots of those questions. Who's coming?
Right.
What's the deal? What's the wristband? 35? How many hours are we going to be there?
You yeah. know,
remember
it's
that?
Interesting. Like, but as you get older, the birthday parties kind of dissipate. I don't think people start throwing birthday parties for you if you're older, unless they think you're close to dying.
Right. Know? Yeah.
Like, you gonna come to Joe's birthday party this year? Like, oh, my. And like, you know, he's very overweight and he's 55. It could be the last time you see Joe. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, all right, I'll come to Joe's party.
Yeah.
You know? Someone in their family. That's how it's presented to you, you know?
Right.
You're not going to Stacy's party?
Yeah. You know?
She has emphysema. You know?
Right. Like, yeah.
I know, I smoke too. It's a cautionary thing, you know, give her my best, you know? Mm-hmm. I hear the party's in Glenview. It's a bit of a ride for me. I don't like driving in the city at night. That's another, I'm getting that from guys now as I get older. Hey, I don't like driving in the city at night. I'm like, you're 42.
Yeah.
It's such a great excuse, though.
Right.
But the birthday parties, no, I haven't been to anything recently. But what I was getting at earlier about Charlotte, she wanted to have the party at her place, at this place, Sugar Factory.
Oh, wait, before you get to that, you were going to tell a story about when you were at, they did the party for you at your work?
Oh, yeah, the card thing.
Oh, the card thing. Did you have to stand up and give a speech?
No, you give that kind of like, you know, the Asian guy at the Olympics response where you just nod and wave your hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody looks over from their coffee and goes, oh, yeah, happy birthday. And then the rest of the day you're walking to the water cooler and people you've never spoken to are like, happy birthday. You know, you're like, thanks, dude. You know?
Right.
It's kind of weird. It's like you're being outed.
Yeah.
Although they think, like, this is culture, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they call that in an organization. How's your culture? You know? Yeah. Are you all wishing each other happy birthday? No? Are there granola bars for free for everyone in the morning in the snack room?
Well, it's because mental health is a big thing. We have to think about that now, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want somebody saying, nobody at work ever wished me happy birthday.
Right.
I'm going back there and I'm causing havoc. You know?
That is like a funny HR response, though, you know?
Nobody ever wished
like, well, the people are having a lot of mental issues. Double down on those granola bars for everybody. Give them more granola bars. See if that'll change that.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Get rid of the the pink Starburst.
Give him a ping pong table and a couple hundred gallons of yogurt.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Charlotte wanted to have her birthday party at Sugar Factory.
Mm-hmm.
For the mere, this is what it dawned on me.
Right.
It's all about taking pictures of what you're, where you're at. That's that's the logic of a 13-year-old girl now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where can I have a party where I can post pictures on Instagram and make other kids jealous? Or you know, appeal to some sort of aesthetic that you're going for, you know?
The lifestyles of the rich and famous?
Well, I think it's like, it would be like me if I was a kid and be like, I'm having a birthday party, and mommy, I want a photographer there. I want it documented.
Yeah.
When I get the Nintendo, wait, count to 3 1,000s before I open and then flash.
There's people like that that have probably, you know, choreographed birthday parties. Like when Tiffany opens the present, I need a picture of this angle, that angle. You know, that happens in L.A. and Vegas.
Well, that happens in all of production. There's many Tiffany's working in production, Bill.
I bet there are.
Oh, yeah. Tonight's quiz question, show business.
How many Tiffany's
are working in show business? Over under 5,000. The answer when we come back.
That'd be a hard data. Like, where would we get the analytical data from that? The union?
The over under on how many Tiffany's work in show business?
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
We'd probably have to call the union and go, how many Tiffany's you got on the roster in SAG?
Right.
How many Tiffany's you got on the roster in, what's the stagehands union? You know, we got to call them.
Yeah, you got to call IATSE. You got to call the DGA. You got to call the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah. And the guy goes, what? What do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
How many Tiffany's I got on the roster?
I'm doing a documentary on the name Tiffany and Productions. And I'm trying to find out how many Tiffany's are actively working in show business.
We could probably get away with that.
Can you or can you not be of assistance to me?
Yeah, that'd be fun, man. Doing that kind of research. We should do our own Netflix movie. How many Tiffany's in showbiz?
Yeah.
Started out, we were doing a radio show, and then we decided, you know, I got up the next morning, I called IATSE, I called SAG, and we were getting all these weird, you know, we wouldn't get any positive answers, and then I sent a press release to Variety. You know, all just kinds of stupid stuff we could make up.
Yes.
And it was birthday parties.
Well, it came back to the fact that that was Charlotte's. I'm like, at first I was like, are they going there because they like dessert that much?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then when I go to the website, I see all these pictures of these beautiful sundaes and banana splits and a beautiful aesthetic room that looks like you're eating in the White House or something.
You know? Right. Yeah.
Very, you know, it's very grand.
Uh huh.
And so I could see like, oh, she wants to take pictures of her in front of the art, which is the dessert.
Yeah.
What a plug for Sugar Factory.
Wow. Tell me about it.
We should ask them to sponsor the show, Bill, because you're such a sugar man.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Billy Houlihan for Sugar Factory. This is the PSA of the week.
I don't know. I don't think you could get bored of candy, but I mean, after a while, it's just like, I don't know. Guys would be playing tricks on you.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been, you're right. Dog days of summer, as we spoke at the top of the program. It is feeling, you know, I've been going to the pool still with Mikey. We're still in that mode.
Yeah.
Trying to, but I know it's coming to an end, you know?
I got to tell the story about the birthday party.
Go ahead.
Our birthday party. People say, what's the most memorable birthday party you've ever had, right?
Yeah.
And when did we probably stop having birthday parties? I want to say it was probably around this age. Might have been the last.
13?
No. I think we were, maybe in 7 or 8 years old? I think it was.
Yeah, okay, that's more like it. I remember the sleepover birthday? Everyone's sleeping over, and we're going to watch RoboCop and eat popcorn. You know? Yeah, those were good birthday parties. Like,
great birthday parties.
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven's RoboCop?
Right.
You know? Woof.
Right, and it was always the version that your dad had taped off of Channel 9 because it was edited.
Right. You get to watch the scene in Teen Wolf where, you know, the whipped cream is being, you know, put on the young female.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that your dad would always fast forward through Teen Wolf on that one.
Teen Wolf. Uncensored party.
Yeah. Basic Instinct, the crossing of the legs. You know, if that was, you know, you get that and the uncrossing of the legs, you know, with the Sharon Stone. And when you're in seventh grade, you're like, pause it.
Yes. Yes.
Anyways.
We're going a little too deep.
Yeah,
down
we can. But we had we had a birthday party and we were living in Elmwood Park.
Yeah.
And one of my friend's dads had a, you know, he was a subscriber to the gentleman's magazine Playboy. And we discovered this when we would go over to their house once. You know, you'd see it, like, you know, kids are also, that's the other thing. Kids do go through people's, you know, someone's in your house, you'd always open their medicine cabinet. I mean, yeah. If some adult did that to me, I'd like want to throw them against the wall. You know, like, what are you doing going through my stuff, man?
Like your neighbor comes over to use the John, and all of a sudden he's like
going through my medicine cabinet. But kids are they'll do that. And, you know, like, anyways, we discovered a Playboy, you know, and we're like, okay, I think we've hit the Holy Grail now. We know where they're at, you know?
Yes.
And the young adolescent mind of a 7, 8-year-old boy, I mean, the Playboy is the ultimate, you know? And we told our buddy to, you know, we're like, hey, it was a sleepover. We're like, bring a Playboy. Bring the Playboy, please, you know?
Uh-huh.
He did. And my dad could sense, like, you know, an hour into the party, he's like, they're awfully, like, quiet up there, and they're all, like, you know, and you could hear, you know, and then, like, fighting, you're like, ah! And you knew that they were, like, somebody was taking, you know, my dad's like, that sounds like somebody taking something from someone, everyone running across the room to see what it is. Same thing repeated over again. And it's exactly what it was. You know, the one guy go, give me that! He runs to the corner room, flips through a page. Everyone follows him. One pulls it over the other guy's shoulder. One's the other. Anyways, we got caught with it. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that. Just that was the, people say, what's your most memorable birthday party? When we got caught with a Playboy. That's got to be it. About 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were young. My dad was like, what's this? You know, and we were like, you know,
I don't think we were 8. I think we were closer to like 10. But maybe you're no, we were still in Elmwood Park. So yeah,
third grade.
8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too young. But that was the, that's my most memorable birthday party story that I can think of.
Man, Bill, you could, Playboy would love that. They would love.
I know. If you're hiring Playboy Publications, just give me a call. I'd love to write an editorial for you anytime.
The name of the column is just called I Remember by Bill.
No, it's called Charles Vanderwhite. Is my pen name.
Charles Vanderwhite?
Yeah. That'll be my pen name for Playboy. If they gave me a job.
My favorite birthday party ever by Charles Vanderwhite.
Yeah.
It's Pulitzer material.
I've been talking about Playboys for, you know, 30 years.
Yes,
my Uncle John nicknamed me Playboy Bill when I was like 9 years old. I was just always talking about Playboy.
Yeah, like the first time it was like when Saul of Tarsus was hit off the horse,
yeah.
You know?
That's a line from Going East on Ashland, our father's play, that he always talks about the story of the Dirty Magazine. But I actually found myself in a store recently, and, you know, I saw a Playboy t-shirt. And I was considering purchasing it.
And I was like, that guy?
I was like, could I wear the Playboy t-shirt and, like, get away with it? I'm like,
no, like, you know how weird Charlotte, like, and like, your nieces and nephews would be like, Bill with the Playboy shirt. I guess, like, that doesn't fly unless you're like, I don't know. I mean, there's guys that do it. I see it, you know?
There's guys that have the tattoo.
You got the
Playboy bunny tattoo? Oh, yeah, and the
but
earrings.
That was a gang thing, I thought. That, like,
it
became
was,
a gang thing
it
in
was,
Chicago.
Yeah, there were the Playboys in Chicago, yeah, I think so, yeah.
No, that, like, the Playboy bunny logo became, yeah. Like, a gang. Like, if a guy had the Playboy bunny logo, it meant he was in, you know,
some sort of a freak gang.
Yeah, yeah.
But not now. I mean, you can just wear a T-shirt, Playboy.
So you wanted to buy a Playboy T-shirt, huh? What do you think?
I thought about it. I was like, you know, would I have worn this, like...
See, would I have, like, you just want to wear it to bed and not have anyone see you in it.
No, I would, like, I would like to.
Billy's got a new Playboy t-shirt nightgown that he wears, you know, just looks in the mirror and puts it on when no one's there, and he's like, bedtime.
No, I think I'd just like to wear it to, like, a really divey bar, just have a good time with a Playboy t-shirt on.
You bring up, I remember our friend Drew had a t-shirt when we were in our 20s. When we worked at a bar, we all worked at a bar together.
Yeah.
And he had a t-shirt that had a picture of a woman on a stripper pole. And it said, I support single mothers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen that t-shirt before many times.
And
I remember he had it on in like, and he was like working at the bar that night. It was like he was the bartender, but it was also a place that served dinner, right?
Yes, yeah. Oh, I remember it, yeah.
And he had it on, and I don't think he thought anything, like,
it's just bar attire.
Right, and that woman came up to him and she went, "I think your shirt is disgusting." And she was probably right. It was, you know?
Yeah, it was offensive.
But it was just such a juvenile kind of, like, you know, thing to have on. And, he was like, "All right," he barked back at her. But it does always, like, you're taking a risk when you're wearing, like, to,
you
of
are.
Offending.
You are. And that's, like, I've been having a lot of thought about, like, what was, like, if, you know, if there is, you know, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and we know this, right? But, like, you know, people always say, who are you in your other life? How would you be in your other life, you know? And I was out the other day, and I was admiring this dude on his, like, he had a badass Harley Davidson. You know, he had a sleeve and everything. I was like, I think in my other life, I'd be, you know, riding a Harley, tatted up, and wearing Playboy t-shirts. that'd be me.
What a sick thought.
I know, that's like, people aspire to be other things in their other life. I'm like, I just want to be a biker with a Playboy t-shirt.
Like, I never had the guts to be a biker and wear the Playboy
exactly.
t-shirt.
Exactly. I never had the guts to do it.
I never had the gumption, but maybe in another life.
I didn't have the moral capacity to go that route.
Father, forgive me for I have sinned, but I've often fantasized about being a biker that wears Playboy t-shirts in another life.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys that probably have that fantasy.
Yeah, you could be right.
Do you think Lorenzo Lamas ever fantasizes about being like a Wall Street guy? He's like, you know, my other life. That's me.
I just like the fact that you just said, do you think Lorenzo Lamas ever fantasizes?
Doesn't even matter what comes after that. That's the opening line of my byline from Playboy as Charles Vanderwhite. Do you think that Lorenzo Lamas ever fantasizes?
?
Yeah. It's the first article. It's all about Shauna, whatever, his first wife that was in Playboy.
Okay, you're going to rope that into the script right now.
Oh, I might as well tie it into my piece that I'm auditioning for.
What do you want to do my piece that you're auditioning for?
That eventually I want to be a writer and an editorial for Playboy.
As Charles Vanderwhite?
Yeah.
Okay, sold. What kind of music does Charles Vanderwhite listen to, Bill?
Survivor.
Really?
Yeah, I heard this jam the other night, and I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me, and I think I'm right. I still haven't been able to, like, find the facts on it, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and I'm like, is this in Teen Wolf? And he's like, I don't think so. And I was like, what movie is this in? It's got to be in one of them. I think it's, I'm looking for which song it is. Oh, my gosh. It's I Can't Hold Back.
I Can't Hold Back by Survivor?
Yeah.
That's what Charles Vanderwhite,
That's what he does when he makes the change. And he decides, I don't need to be a biker when I want to go into my second life. I can't hold back. I'm going for it. I'm putting a Playboy t-shirt on. There's a story in my eyes. Turn the pages of desire. Now it's time to trade those dreams for the rush of passion's fire. I can feel you tremble when we touch, and I feel the hand of fate reaching out to both of us. I've been holding back the night. I've been searching for a clue from you. I'm gonna try with all my might to make the storyline come true. Can you feel me tremble? Sing out!
speaks to you and I.
Yeah, little Survivor, Jim Peterick for you.
That's what Charles Vanderwhite plays as he rides into the sunset with his brand new sleeve tattoo at age 50.
I was talking, as I said, I was talking to my buddy about this song, and I was going, what movie is this in? It's not in Teen Wolf, but I knew it was in a comedy. It's in Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's at the end of Paul Blart, Mall Cop. I remember that, yeah.
Is Paul Blart Mall Cop one of your go-tos?
It's not a bad little flick. The first Paul Blart Mall Cop. You know, I have I like my Kevin.
Kevin James. You guys. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like him too. He cracks me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out to Paul Blart Mall Cop.
I didn't see Mall. You know, they made a part two of this.
Oh, absolutely.
I haven't seen that. So,
Mike brought up during the song. He's like, "You guys just came up with the premise for Wild Hogs. It's been done."
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think, you know, I forgot about Tim Allen and Travolta and the rest of that. Who else is in Wild Hogs with those guys?
It doesn't.
I don't think I've never seen Wild Hogs, you know that? Oh, Ray Liotta's in Wild Hogs.
The late Ray Liotta, yeah.
See, I knew there was greatness to it.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I went to the Chicago Cultural Alliance dinner the other night.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
It was at the Chicago History Museum. Dad and I went, and it was pretty wild to see. It's a meeting place where, you know, the Chicago Cultural Alliance is an alliance of non-for-profit foundations dedicated to culture, right? So you have Hibernian Media. We have Irish culture and that we promote.
Yeah.
And then you have many other different ethnicities represented with their,
of course,
their arts councils. And then they put on a show. And there's a lot of charitable organizations and donors there as well.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's a good networking event. It was really well done.
Oh, for sure.
Really well done.
Yeah.
But I always, whenever I go to those things, I always have a little bit of imposter syndrome, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah, not at all. Like one guy, it's interesting. You start, like, I spoke to two, I met one guy in the hallway. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
He ran for governor, Gary Rabin.
Yeah.
Right? And he's there. And I recognized him. I was like, hey, how you doing? You know, and I introduced myself to him. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, you know, I'm friends. And my friend invited me to come. And I'm like, who's your friend? You know? And it's like, you meet that guy, and then you want to go home and Google guys right away. Who was that? Who did I talk to? You know.
Uh huh.
And it's a wild event. It's fun to connect, and you start putting up the dots together of, like, you know, who the players are in Chicago that actually have interest in the arts, you know, and care about it.
Right.
And that have the ability to actually finance things. You know.
Yeah.
It's eye opening.
Yeah.
But also kind of it's fun, and I think the more of those events that I've gone to. The imposter syndrome has kind of started to go away because it's, you know, you're thinking to yourself, like, how am I supposed to act here? You know, like, am I silly? Or,
I mean, can I be funny? Can I be myself? Well,
right. I get, yeah, you know.
I shouldn't say funny. Some people probably don't think you're funny, but.
Well, it's very, you know, like, this is the so-and-so foundation, and we've gotcha. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, there are not going to be any fart jokes during this ceremony.
Oh, no.
None.
No,
no, no, you know, none that will be bongo playing.
There will be bongo playing?
Yes, and some performance art dances. And
crab cakes?
A talking animal. And a clown.
Right.
Who doesn't tell jokes? No jokes. It's a clown that does no jokes. It's a sad clown.
Uh-huh.
He performs. And then at the end, we will ask for money to people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But
there's no jokes here. We are creating art.
Right.
Not silliness.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, nobody was like in there cracking jokes?
No. I mean, like, I have a very
low. What nationality are you guys?
You know, well, you know, it's not, you know, it's one of those things where people are coming out and they perform, you know, and they're hitting the bongos and, you know, these people are from the so-and-so foundation and they, you know, they've dedicated their lives to playing the skins of Yucalapaca, you know?
Oh, wow. The skins of Yucalapaca. Right.
And it's, so, and it's like, and they're winning, they've won a grant and they're there to showcase and they're part of the alliance, you know?
So you couldn't like show a clip of you talking about Gurgler on the run
and say,
hey, can we get some dough?
Not at all.
This is our comedy clip called Gurgler on the Run.
No.
Yeah.
People
can't. Thanks for coming out, everyone.
Yeah, I can't. People are like, your show's about Irish culture? I'm like, yes. Can you give me an example? Well, 2 weeks ago, I pooed my pants over the age of 40, and it really alarmed me. And I thought to myself, that's an hour of content. I can use that.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone relates to that.
Of course.
That's cross-cultural.
That's cross-cultural.
Those are cross-cultural discussions, sir.
Yeah.
You know?
I saved the pants.
Yeah. Right. I also salvaged my khakis. Because I care about the earth.
Yeah. And recycling.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Where do I sign for the grant?
Yeah. Please, which direction are you pointing me in?
Right.
Yeah. They give you the exit sign.
Oh, there's a big feather pen I'm going to use. Lovely.
Yeah. Was there like a feather pen that people were like, oh,
yeah. I'm sure there, yeah, but that's the sort of, you know, like, it was a fun event, but it was like, there's no joke. It was very,
yeah.
Wes Anderson can do a movie about this, right?
Right. Okay.
This would be an amazing Wes Anderson comedy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or even a Waiting for Guffman-esque, you know?
I mean, it was like the scene in Tenenbaums where Eli Cash is reading, you know, from his book to all these
because
people.
Because it's billionaires
and
artists, you know?
Right.
The artists are very humble because they're from cultural organizations that are asking for help and money so that we have, you know, a better understanding of each other. I mean, these are essential centers that need to be open, you know. Yeah. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that the approach and look and aesthetic of all the people who've been involved in that scene for the last 50 years has not changed, and it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But while I'm there, I'm just observing, you know.
Yeah.
And the jokes are flooding through my head.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun, you know.
Cool.
But also, yes, imposter syndrome. You're looking for someone to be like, hey, you know,
what are you doing here?
Right. You know,
I'm on to you.
Right. Yeah. Did you try the Native American crab cakes?
Right.
Little bit spicy, aren't they?
Oh, they had a nice remoulade, huh?
Right. Took me a bit by surprise. A lovely aftertaste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much money do you have, did you say? Billion?
Right. Hmm. Yeah.
Would you like to meet me at Potbelly's tomorrow for a sandwich and a pitch?
Yeah. Sure.
All I'm asking for is 1%.
Uh-huh.
So I can keep telling poo-poo jokes on the air.
Uh-huh.
Would you be so kind to fund me?
Just fund me. You should have just wore a t-shirt that said, just fund me.
That's what I was thinking, you know. Well, while we were there, Dad has a sport coat on. Dad has these ridiculous red sunglasses that he bought at the dollar store that have mirrors on them. right? Yeah. They look like something James Ward from Channel 7 would have used to wear, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, I don't know how to explain them. They're like red John Lennon Beatles sunglasses, right?
Uh-huh.
Very loud, uh-huh. You know? And Dad goes, I'm just going to wear these for the rest of the night. You know, like, it's like, this party needs something like this, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, don't do that. Come on. You know, like, people are going to be like, look at that guy. You know? And he goes, that's the whole idea. You gotta get seen in a room like this. He goes, I think next year we come dressed as leprechauns. I go, actually, that's probably a great idea. I want to go to it as the Green Man, you know? I've been with a big Hibernian media sign and just walk around. You know?
Wear the t-shirt that says, just fund me. I like that.
Or I'll say, just fund me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we need to take a break. Yeah. More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Hey, listeners, I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Boom, do it. Welcome back, Hoolies. That was the voice of Clay. Clay's going to be coming back pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, just on a little vacation hiatus for a while.
He's missed.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd have a lot of chiming in on these conversations.
Absolutely.
School's coming back already.
Yeah.
And it's kind of caught me by surprise, you know?
Is it next week? No, it's the week after next, right, for most kids?
Right. Yeah.
Wow, that's right around. I mean, like.
And I saw on Facebook the other day that, like, kids in Florida are already back in school.
I did see that as well, yeah.
I'm like, wow, like, these summers are real short. And I remember we didn't go back to school until after Labor Day.
But some kids get out of school the first week of May now.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Like, well, I know that some schools, like, you know, like, college kids usually finish around the first or second week of May, I think.
Yeah, that's different. I'm talking about I have kids at elementary school still, so I'm like, man, sorry, school's already back? Holy smokes. I'm like, I hope the summer was good. You know, you're like, you always want to have a memorable summer for your kids. And
I liked the long summer. I liked, sometimes we didn't go back to school until after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I mean, like, well, I remember as a kid, we took summers where we'd go and see like grandma in New York for like 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
And I think those were the memorable parts of this. Like, we actually went and did stuff, you know? And we didn't really do too much this year other than just like go to the pool a lot.
Pool boy?
Yeah. We didn't go on any adventures. I need more adventures, like road tripping. I think that's my next move is like going on road trips.
Okay.
I got to get the car a little fixed up, though, a little tighter, you know?
Okay.
That's the only thing that worries me about. I'm like, I do a road trip? This baby's got 100,000 miles on it, you know?
Got a driver. Give her a nice road trip. Let her run. Let her rip.
Yeah, that might be good for the car.
It is good for the car sometimes.
But the kids are back at school. Yeah, Mike has a note. Dude, take the kids to Great America.
Patty hates roller coasters.
I don't do them.
I don't really do them either. I've never been a roller coaster guy.
Yeah, I don't like heights. They're like I need that. Like, just the thought of like being whipped around in the air just doesn't appease to me. You know, it's like it's like, remember the kid when you were on the playground when you'd go on that thing that spun and the bully was always like spinning it harder and harder and you're like, stop, you know, I'm gonna puke. Stop spinning it, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's what roller coasters are to me, you know? But there's guys volunteering for it, like, oh, I can't wait. I hope I almost puke.
I'm so excited.
I
went to a kind of a carnival over the weekend.
Did you?
I went to LaGrange Fest.
Oh.
It's pretty cool. Who did I see? That Beatles cover band. It'll come to me in a minute. They're named after one of their albums. They're all dressed in like Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts, you know, club. You know, is that their name? I think. Sorry,
Billy,
boys.
At the nursing home again. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
It's a Chicago band that's been together for like 30 years.
Something like that.
They were at
LaGrange Fest.
You know, they were great, but I can't listen. You know, after 25 minutes of the Beatles, I'm like, enough. You know, another band called Xfinity played. No, they were pretty good.
Xfinity, is that when everybody like whipped out the Molly for the party? You know,
no.
It's time to put the kids to bed. Xfinity is playing at night.
It's kind of like that. Right? But it started to get dark. But there were lots of those carnival rides and stuff like that there, and I was like, Some people were like, should we go on them? And I was like,
LaGrange Fest, Carnival Rides, and Chardonnay Moms.
There was some weird.
And Xfinity.
There was some weird people watching. You always like the carnivals are great people watching. That's, I think, why I like. People are like, are you going to get some funnel cake or a corn dog? And I'm like, no, I'm going to get my people watching fix in. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to have 7 vodka lemonades and smile and laugh and giggle.
There was a girl there that was prancing around. And she was, I'm the bride-to-be kind of, you know, she was a bridal party. And it was like, you picked the LaGrange Fest for the, you know, it's like,
I respect
you must
that.
Be looking for some hottie from around here to just swoop you up.
What do you mean? If she was, if it sounds like you saw a bachelorette party.
Yeah.
If she wouldn't be looking for a hottie. She found her hottie. She's celebrating that.
I don't know. She was dressed like she wanted to find one more hottie before she married her hottie.
Oh.
But it was real trashy.
Oh.
It was just like, ooh.
Describe some more, Playboy Bill.
You know? White,
how trashy
white,
was
white
she?
Daisy Dukes, little, ooh. But overweight. So, like, a little chunk ooh. Hanging around.
A BBW and Daisy Dukes, you say?
You know, she had some white cowboy boots on. You know, just the whole, you know, spray tan to the max, you know?
This is my kind of person, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. You know, 16-ounce white claw with a straw in it, you know?
And a veil or something?
Yeah, like a veil. Like there was a sash, mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. Just, I've always... I usually comment at the bridal party, you mm-hmm. know. My friend...
were there any penis straws at the
yeah,
president?
My friend Hector walked by, you know, just teasing him, and he goes, very lucky man he must be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was entertaining.
Have you ever seen, like, the pictures of the girls on Facebook at bachelorette parties? And sometimes you notice that the straws are little penises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know? Yeah, I have noticed that.
No, you think you go, that's all giggly and fine, right?
So I was wearing a Playboy
but
T-shirt.
Can you
then.
Imagine?
You know, it's like, what? How is that more offensive than a Playboy T-shirt?
If you're a child, are you more offensive of coming across a picture of your father on Facebook with a Playboy T-shirt, or a picture of your mother at her friend's bridal party drinking a Diet Coke out of a penis straw?
I think I'll take number two. I'd be more offended by that.
I think so too.
Dad wearing a Playboy T-shirt, it's like, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. But mom drinking a Diet Coke out of a penis straw, that's uncalled for. So stop doing that.
You sound like the Southern Reverend who stumbled across his lines.
Yeah, right.
That's uncalled for.
Couldn't read the teleprompter.
Put the man in the Playboy shirt. But that's uncalled for.
That's right.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So, yeah, note to moms out there, don't put that stuff on social media.
LaGrange Fest. Yeah, don't.
Don't go to LaGrange Fest doing it either.
Why not? Well, don't. You can go to LaGrange Fest. It sounded like it was a nice time.
It
I
was
just saying, you know.
Cool.
So you like the people.
But that
watching.
Was, I mean, yeah, the people watching. I mean, you could, I'm sure there's been people before at Xfinity concerts with, you know, penis straws.
On that note...
You got anything good for us to go out on?
It's been a good hour. Yeah. And a wacky one.
Always okay. is.
Without Clay here, we've been missing Clay. The show is getting weirder and weirder.
Sorry. I think that's maybe me.
I do want to thank our sponsors, the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox yeah. and Beverly Pizza, Flood Brothers Disposal, Madden Funds, and mm-hmm. Guinness Irish Stout. Yep. You can find archives if you go to HibernianRadio.org or you can go to iTunes and look for Hoolies Hoolies Show. Until next week.
Bye.
Hey, it's the Beatles, Bill.
Oh, yeah.